The following is a production of Alabama Public Radio News. Hi, I'm Pat Duggins, and this is APR Notebook. Back in February, the U.S. State Department asked me to speak to a foreign delegation about APR's coverage of human trafficking. One member of that group was an investigative reporter from Ukraine. When I was done, we were all smiling and taking pictures and shaking hands, and this journalist came up and pressed a book into my hands. It was poetry written by Ukrainians about the war with Russia. The stories of pain and loss hammered home for me the fact that I don't know firsthand what it's like in Ukraine, but one part-time resident of Huntsville does. I say part-time because Yurina Zerba's hometown is Solochiv in Ukraine. It's near the city of Lviv, which is close to the border with Poland. She was there as recently as April. The war between Russia and Ukraine may seem recent to us here in the United States, but for Zerba, it's not. Her grandparents fought against the Soviet Union when the communists ran things. They both spent time in prison in Siberia. Her grandfather died there. We'll talk with Zerba about that, how Ukraine is doing, and how she's working to rebuild her nation one jigsaw puzzle at a time. That's all coming up on APR Notebook. Yurina Zerba is co-founder of Ukrainian Puzzles. We'll be talking a lot about that during our program. She's raising her family in Huntsville, but also maintains strong family ties in Ukraine. And Yurina, thank you so very much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
As we record our talk today, you're just back from visiting family in Ukraine. So can you paint a picture for us with the war going on? What was that visit like?
First, it's much harder to travel now to Ukraine because all airports are shut down. So travel time now it's doubled. And so we go to the airport in Poland, either Krakow or Warsaw, and then we use land transportation. And it takes time to cross borders. So it's the travel itself is very complicated. And then in Ukraine, it's not easy. It's air alerts, you know, because of missile strikes. So we need to be cautious of that. And there are a lot of them and go to hide into like basements. For instance, if, when kids at school, you know, they like have in their classes on upstairs, but if it's alert, they go into like there is a floor in basement that they put also like desks there, you know, it's much smaller room so they can like have activities, play, but they still can read and do crafts and stuff like that. So they spend that time in the basement while the air alert, you know, going on missile strikes.
Yeah, I was wondering, here in the United States, we fought wars, but it seems like following the U.S. Civil War in the 1860s, our major conflicts have been someplace else. It's either going to be Europe or the Pacific or Korea, Vietnam. Ukraine's conflict with Russia is right there. Do you have difficulty getting Americans to understand what it's like?
It looks like it's difficult to understand. You know, more Ukrainian soldiers died fighting in Second World War than British, American, and French together. Really, tough history, but also heroic history, you know, because we, after going through all that, we exist and we believe that, like, yes, now we need to win this war that we are going through, you know. At least we are in situations that the world understands that this is Ukraine, yes, and stands with Ukraine, and we're really grateful to all Americans and U.S. standing with Ukraine. It's very important because we have now chance to break, you know, this cycle of history and get our chance to build own country and protect ourselves from future invasions.
The fact that your grandparents fought against the Soviets and they, you know, served time in Siberia, was that a portion of your personal history that you discovered yourself, or did your parents sit you down and say, you need to know this, and here it is?
So my grandmother, I remember her, she passed away when I was 12. So I had chance to talk with her, although she didn't talk much. She was very, you know, not emotional person, not talking much, you know, but I knew I had, you know, like being child, I had huge respect and a little fear even, you know, but I knew like that she is very heroic person and went through a lot. And on my dad's side, since it was earlier in history, and I still don't know where he is buried because he died in Siberia. You know, I never was in Russia, never, and never had like a desire to go there. But one thing that I could go in future, you know, if I would have chance to find where my great grandfather is buried. It's only recently started that we can discover our history by ourselves fully, you know, so, and to tell it to the world. So needs to be done, you know, to have this correct picture of Ukraine Russian relationship, because, and US universities can do a lot in here, because you had this for a long time, you know, being in Cold War, you had the Soviet studies in your colleges, and then when Cold War was over, they all transformed almost all to Russian studies, you know, or sometimes to Slavic studies, but Slavic studies mainly about Russia again. So it's for academia in US now a big task, you know, to introduce Ukrainian studies, you know, to understand Ukraine. And it's not only because of history, it's also, you know, Ukraine is showing great example of resilience, you know, going through all that challenges, huge ones. Ukraine is still standing and exists, you know, managed to do that. So it's Ukrainian culture is worth to be learned, just to understand the sources of resilience, you know, how to survive through very tough times. That is valuable to know.
Now, I understand that you and your sister were the first in your family to go to college. So you're an attorney in Ukraine. How did you wind up coming to Huntsville?
I wanted to go to law school I decided when I was 12, you know. And during that my work experience, there is an exchange program called Open World Program. And it was my very first visit to US. It was back in 2013. So I met many attorneys here, you know, in the United States, judges, you know, human rights defenders. During that visit, I met also a guy who it was just brief meeting. We just exchanged our emails and I came back to Ukraine, and I never thought that I will be back to Alabama, you know, at least in a short period of time. But yeah, we were keeping in touch and writing emails to each other, longer emails. And then in 4 months, he came to Ukraine to visit and we started to date. He met my parents. And we were dating for several years, going back and forth, and married in 2017. Now we have two kids.
So when you came to Alabama, was it like what people told you it would be like, or was it different, or what do you think?
In embassy of US in Ukraine, you know, in Kyiv, in Ukraine, we were like briefed what to expect, and they said to us, so that Americans don't like when you hug them, that you need to keep very big this personal distance, don't approach them closely, you know, I remember that very clearly, that you may be too friendly if you want to hug somebody. And then you know, very first person I met, like, that was meeting me in the airport in Huntsville, she is like open her arms like widely, trying to hug me, you know. And then I had like hundreds hugs during that stay in Huntsville. It was very big hospitality experience, very nice. Yeah, I have positive, warm remembering from that time.
The only bad part about interviewing on the radio is that when someone tunes in, they can't see the bookshelf behind you. Because I see at least four of the puzzle kits from Ukrainian puzzles, all jigsaw puzzles, many of which have images of landmarks and objects that were damaged or destroyed by the Russians as they moved in. Where did the idea for that come from?
But I came up with that idea because from different point of views. First, as I mentioned, the people don't know much about Ukraine. You know, it's like terra incognita. And yes, you can read and Google and so on, but it's also like I can do in this way. But also those news, you know, they are very painful about destroying cultural heritage in Ukraine. You know, it's just the flow of that news was so bad. So, and in that very bad emotions, that idea came up and I thought, okay, that's it. It's what I will be working on. Because besides other some volunteering activities and so on, and we validated it, you know, first we will do a puzzle collections with some of those destroyed cultural heritage landmarks, but also that we will do Ukrainian art collection. We started it now. You know, we now have like more than 30 different puzzles, but we are adding more all the time as our resources allow to do that. Ukrainian art collection was released earlier, and Discover Ukraine, it's about just different cities and places. But what I realized by myself, you know, working on that puzzle project, like, because we are trying to do these different collections, right? The one, Rebuild Ukraine, is about destroyed cultural heritage. And then Ukrainian art, about art, yes. And then Discover Ukraine, it's about different cities, mountains, and so on. But then I understood that really all of them can be destroyed, that all are under danger of being destroyed. For instance, you know, we did a very nice puzzle, that's Odessa. You know, Odessa has opera theater, is amazing, you know, and it's standing on the seaside, the view from, so just find that puzzle on our website, ukrainianpuzzles.com, you know, you will see. But Odessa is targeted so heavily, you know, with missiles, drones, like almost every night something. So what is now we discovered Ukraine collection can be destroyed, you know, in one day. So it's really Russia want to demolish all that. And the same Ukrainian art, for instance, one of the puzzles that are behind me is with Maria Primachenko art. She was very unique, naive art painter. And her museum was next to Kyiv, not far away. So it was targeted by missile, so that and burning, and just the people jumped into the fire and rescued what they could. You know, they rescued this art. Some of them burned, but almost all they managed to save, risking their lives. But I mean, Ukrainian art is also what is under threat, under constant risk. And also another moment that it's only what came to our point. For instance, in 30s, like poet writers, painters, Ukrainian painters, they were all killed, and their artworks were destroyed. For instance, we had this Boychuk School of Art that was very, you know, like innovative for that time. So there are no artworks, almost no artworks, because they were like just physically destroyed. You know, it's also like form of genocide. You know, to destroy cultural heritage in any possible way.
One puzzle kit I recall has the image of a cathedral in the city of Kharkiv that was damaged. And as we were preparing for this interview, I really got the impression that Kharkiv has special meaning for you. Can you talk about that?
Kharkiv is a great city, yes. I didn't live there or study, but I was going to work there to visit. It's located just 20 miles from the border with Russia. So it's targeted. They can strike missiles, you know, just from the other side of the border. So Kharkiv is heavily damaged. And our puzzles, our cardboard puzzles, are made in Kharkiv, because Kharkiv has the best industry in publishing and printing. You know, we contract a publishing house to make these cardboard puzzles. And unfortunately, there was a missile strike in their facilities in March 2024, and 2,000 of our puzzles burned as a result of that missile strike. And we never expected to get these 2,000 puzzles, you know, like no way. But could you imagine that several months after that, your order of 2,000 puzzles is ready? And they said, apologies for the delay. Could you imagine?
So again, since we're on radio, listeners can't see your bookshelf, but I see at the very tip top is the kit that Mrs. Duggins and I put together. It's the Antonov 225 cargo plane, which, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, biggest cargo plane in the world, built in Ukraine, and it was one of the first things that the Russians blew up after the invasion. So can you recall where you were and what you were doing when you heard that Ukrainian landmark had been destroyed?
It was right in very few days of invasion on February 27, 2022. So they were trying to capture Kyiv, you know, and this Gostomel airport is nearby Kyiv. It's where this Mriya airplane was just like parked, you know, stationary. And it was destroyed there. Yes, it is... It's still very painful for all Ukrainians and for all world, because you have something unique, you know. It's the biggest cargo plane in the world, you know. And because the name is Mriya, the plane called Mriya, it means dream in Ukrainian. Dream. So like they destroyed our dream. But it's also that we say that we will rebuild our dream. Antonov, they have a goal to rebuild is after the victory, to rebuild this airplane. By the way, the next biggest cargo plane is still Ukrainian. So it's still now, it's called Ruslan, you know, it's still Ukrainian biggest aircraft, although it's smaller than Mriya. But it's symbolically too, you know, so they are trying to kill our dream, but we will rebuild it. We will rebuild it. We are sure about that.
Anybody who visits my office at Alabama Public Radio is going to see pictures on the wall of me with like sportscasters or astronauts or people that I meet talking for the State Department, stuff like that. But I got to say, you got me beat. All right. You have several photographs of you alongside Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky with one of your puzzle kits. In fact, the Antonov 225. How did you make that happen?
It happened in 2023 because this big book fair that I mentioned to you earlier, Kyiv Book Arsenal, in 2022, they had to cancel it for obvious reasons. But then, you know, they were trying to capture Kyiv for 3 days. They didn't manage to do that. They were pushed back, and Kyiv, you know, restarted the life. And now it's traffic jams, you know, as usual. Kyiv is full of activity, although it's very tough to live because almost every night they is targeted with missiles and drones. And Kyiv for them, you know, is very special target. So Kyiv Book Arsenal came back in 2023. So, and we were there, we had like booths with other puzzles to sell puzzles there. And Zelensky visited with his wife, Zelensky family visited, yes. And they approached our booth and we gifted them the puzzle. They said that it will be for their son. They have like teenager son and they have two kids. One is teenager. So that he will put the puzzle and we made pictures. They are very, very nice couple. I mean, beyond, you know, beyond being like public figures that have, but their family is very nice.
Well, Mr. Zelensky looked like he was having a good time. I mean, you know, what kind of reaction did you get to the puzzles?
So he was trying to pay for that puzzle, you know, and I said, no, let me just make it as a gift, you know. But we will ask you to make a picture, you know, and that picture will bring much more benefit, you know. He said, okay, then let's do it. So he was joking and yeah, he was A very brief conversation, you know, because of security. We actually, before that, organizers of the festivals said that no posting pictures while they are in the arsenal. It was big security preparations for that. Yes, it was nice, brief, but very warm talk.
Okay, so as an aside, I think I may have mentioned that I had the privilege of covering the U.S. space program for like 22 years. And, you know, back in the days of the shuttle, if it had to go from California to Florida, they'd put it on the back of a 747. And here's where your puzzle kit comes in. The Soviet Union made their own space shuttle. And what did they pick as their cargo plane, but the Antonov 225? So we had the pleasure of putting that puzzle kit together. It's hanging in our living room.
Oh, it's my pleasure. The people, you know, see value in it, and when they put together it, what keep us moving forward. You know, what gives us like motivation, and we are glad. You know, that already 3 years of our Ukrainian puzzles project, and it's growing. So I hope more and more people will, you know, get to discover Ukraine through puzzles and any other possible ways, books, you know, just learn about Ukraine. And this is the way to stand with Ukraine too, you know, to understand Ukraine's history, not to believe that what was told about us or mainly nothing was told, yeah, that we don't exist. So discover Ukraine for yourself, and this is a big way to support Ukraine too.
Irina, as we begin to wrap up our conversation here, I was wondering, if peace is ever concluded between Ukraine and Russia, a peace that all sides can live with, how long do you think it's going to be before the Ukrainian people recover from the loss, be able to, you know, move ahead with their lives as if the war had not happened?
That will never be possible. That war changed us so big. You know, many families lost their loved ones. Like my auntie, I recently was looking at the pictures. You know, we had this like two like more people in our family are fighting. But my auntie's son, he was 30 years old only. He died in war, and her second son is now fighting on the east of Ukraine. So it's you can't just forget it. It's something that changed us completely. It's trauma will be for generations. You know, we didn't overcome the traumas from previous very big tragedies of 20th century, Holodomor, Second World War, and now this is another layer. But trauma is not necessarily. It depends how you work with that. It's also because of such a huge sacrifice was made by Ukrainians. So those who are alive, they like feel obligated and very motivated to do own best to make Ukraine independent, successful country that decides own path, you know. So for us, it's like not some empty words, you know. For us, Ukraine is very, very, very valuable, very personal. So it's we just need that chance, you know, to get rid of the Russians' attempt, you know, and that violent and we and then just give us space to build own countries, and we will do that. It just need to be Russia needs to be stopped. Russia will never, you know, make own decision. Oh, okay, let's stop. No, enough. Never enough. They just need to be stopped by showing strength. You know, this that for moving forward for them only more losses, and that's only the way they understand. That's like bullies. You know, that is the language that bullies. You can't act weak in front of bully. You know, you need to put bully on put limits on them. Russia needs to be stopped, and Ukraine will you know, we we will overcome that eventually. I mean, remembering, and it changed us. And we will live side by side with Russia. It's where we located. It just we need to be strong enough and to have such a strong army and weapon that we to be sure that they don't invade us again. You know, it's this is the only way to secure peace in that region. Strong Ukraine. You know, and eventually it will come to dialogue, but after it will be justice. You know, it's a Nuremberg process. You know, when those who made those decisions are punished. You know, and a country apologize for what they did. Yeah, we can come to dialogue, but not before justice and not before they apologize for what they have done.
I studied up a lot before we sat down to talk, but every question that I've offered is from the perspective of an American who does not know what you're going through, does not know what your family's enduring, does not know what the Ukrainian people are going through. As we finish up, is there something that I should have asked you that I didn't?
These are all great questions, and thank you very much for this conversation. Many people ask what they can do, you know, like in US, because it's probably the same feeling that you are far away and you need to contribute somehow. But how is it? How this is a question? Yes, so there are many ways to help Ukraine and to learn about Ukraine, to find local groups. You know, for instance, in Huntsville we have groups that organizing bake sales and just come and buy a bakery for your breakfast, and those money go to support different initiatives in Ukraine. So there are many ways and learn about Ukraine. You know, just don't be in indifferent. And there are no such thing like small contribution here. There are no such thing, because the battle you see is so tight that each action matters and can turn out to be crucial. You know, like another thing that is very important is to influence your representatives to Congress, because it's where big and very important decisions are made. For instance, it was a situation when the weapon supply was stopped to Ukraine. And it's when we asked, like all Americans, you know, please call your representative and tell that this is a mistake, that Ukraine needs to have weapons. It's when you make Ukraine weaker, you only encourage bigger war. So call your congressman, make sure that they make right decision in decisions in the Congress. We are really grateful for that support. It's very crucial for Ukraine now.
Irina Zerba, co-founder of Ukrainian Puzzles, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
I'm Pat Duggins, and you've been listening to APR Notebook. If you'd like to know more about Irina Zerba's Ukrainian jigsaw puzzles, go to her website, ukrainianpuzzles.com. Is there somebody you'd like to hear from on future programs that you'd like for me to track down? Drop me a line at pduggins@apr.org. The producer of our program is Samantha Triana. Our student interns in the APR newsroom are Victoria Rodriguez, Lyric Franklin, Ethan Golson, Kat Townsend, Torin Daniel, and Alex Schoenfeld. You can listen again to this episode and everything we do in the APR newsroom by going to apr.org. The theme music for APR Notebook is Sunny Days. I'm Pat Duggins. See you next time on APR Notebook.